We report next on a telling detail about the protests for democracy in Hong Kong. Our colleague Frank Langfitt has been reporting on those demonstrations over the past several weeks and has noticed a change. Many people are no longer willing to give their full names when they talk about politics. Frank explains the reasons for this change from one of Hong Kong's main protest camps.
A couple of nights ago, I was interviewing a real estate agent in a pinstripe suit. We were standing on an elevated walkway. In the distance, police battled and pepper-sprayed demonstrators. The man, 27 years old, wasn't a protester, but he supports the pro-democracy movement and explained why. At the end of the interview, I did what I always do.
Can I ask your name?
Yeah, my name is Wu.
Do you have an English name?
No.
He refused to give me his first name, even when I suggested he could use an English name, which might provide more anonymity here in Hong Kong.
But explain to our listeners why you wouldn't want to tell us your full name.
The speech freedom is just fading out. I'm very confident about Hong Kong when 10 years ago, but things change very quick. It's going worse. Everything is going worse, and I have to protect myself.
Protect him from possible punishment for his views.
If you were 17, 10 years ago, and I came and asked you questions about politics, would you have given me your name?
Maybe. Maybe yes.
In the protest zone, volunteers continued to build desks, and they created a giant study hall in the middle of a now-empty highway so protesting students could keep up with their homework.
I have no experience in carpentry or anything at all.
This is one of the desk builders. His name is Abe, and he's Hong Kong-Canadian. Abe works with mainland manufacturers and wants to keep his identity secret.
I like to go to China. And they will put me on a watch list.
Abe's afraid if an official in the Communist Party hears this story, he could be barred from entering China.
I think as Hong Kong is having more economic ties with China, a lot of people are employing self-censorship. That's the bottom line. Like, everyone is just self-censoring.
I think freedom of expression and freedom of the press were freedoms that were taken for granted, I think, in Hong Kong. It was just part of daily life.
Maya Wong lives here and is a researcher with Human Rights Watch. She says under British colonial rule, Hong Kongers spoke their minds. When Hong Kong returned to China, Beijing promised the territory could keep its way of life for 50 years. But Wong says free speech and a free press are under threat. She cites the case of Jimmy Lai, the owner of the Apple Daily newspaper, and a huge pro-democracy supporter.
For example, you know, there have been men armed with knives going to in front of his residence, also threatening some of his workers, to boycott of advertisements from certain banks in Hong Kong because of the paper's pro-democracy stance.
Or take the case of Kevin Lau. A hired assailant nearly hacked him to death this year with a meat cleaver. Lau is a Beijing critic and a highly respected former editor of Ming Pao, which has heavily covered the pro-democracy movement. Lau insists he was attacked for his journalism. Again, Maya Wong.
So these two incidents against Jimmy Lai and Kevin Lau are very chilling incidents to the rest of the Hong Kong people. If you have lots of money and you speak on democracy, you could be subjected to these kind of attacks. What happens to the kind of the small, ordinary people who have neither the money or the fame to protect them?
The answer? They're more careful about what they say and more reluctant to give their full names, just like the people across the border in mainland China. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Hong Kong.